The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men were numbered around 5,000. So Jesus said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied, and when the loaves fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good evening. I hope everyone's doing very well on this solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus, Corpus Christi. And as you know, this is my last weekend to celebrate masses and preach here at St. Joseph's. I'll be away at Steubenville next weekend, and then I begin Sacred Heart, my new assignment, on June 28th. And so normally when someone's going away, they would reserve kind of a second homily after the announcements and say all their goodbyes then, but I'm going to do it now. There's less chance that I'll become emotional now and start crying, and you don't want to see that. And that way we don't have to have a second homily later on. And I also want to return our attention to the sacrifice of the Mass, especially on today, where it's fitting to put the emphasis there, not here. But it has been such an honor and a blessing to be with you here for my first year of priesthood. No one could want a better experience and a better introduction to the priesthood than being here at St. Joseph's in Norman. Why is that? Well, first of all, because of the wonderful staff that we have here and how organized it is, which makes it so easy for someone new to move in and to begin working right away. The staff here is superb, and I just pray to God that it's the same at other parishes around the country and especially the state. God, you hearing me? Okay. And a big thanks, of course, to Father Irwin for welcoming me here and for all of the training, all of the advice, and the model of being a great priest that he's given me. But especially with the deacons, and I have to admit, with the sacristans who are so important. Rick and the whole crew have helped me so much. Rick does everything behind the scenes. He doesn't want any attention, but he's the best. Also, the servers, our acolytes. I've seen such great work from you, not only what you've done, but in the way you welcome new acolytes, new altar servers, your younger brothers and sisters or friends, and help to train them. And it's just a great support to have that kind of backing behind you when you're a new priest. I know I will forget some people, so forgive me if your names are not on this list. Clint, and to the musicians upstairs, you always help lift up our spirit and help to rain down God's blessings upon us, his gifts on us. And without you, our adoration and our worship would be very diminished. So thank you, Clint. And finally, I want to turn to you, the people, and to the heart of the parish. It's been getting to know you, growing as your priest, getting to know you sometimes at a very personal level, and it's been a very special time. You know, as a priest, what a privilege it is to see the most important moments of life, the births, the baptisms, the confessions, also to go to anointing, to bless people, and yes, to be with them when they die, and to help their families mourn through funeral services. So as a priest, we get to see the entire course of life, and there hasn't been a better year in my life or a greater blessing than to be a part of that and to walk with you. So I know that Sacred Heart is not too far away, and that the shrine is even closer after it opens in November. And I hope to see you all many times in the future, sooner rather than later. So God bless, and I'm now going to give the actual homily so there won't have to be a second homily later. Well, we're really here to celebrate the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. What do we do today? What are we recalling? We recall, first of all, that the last two precious gifts that Jesus gave us were, first of all, himself. Communion, which he gave to us on Holy Thursday when he instituted the Eucharist. When he said that bread and wine will become his body and blood. That's what he said. That's what he did, and that's what we do. And the second precious gift he gave us on Holy Friday was when he gave us his Mother Mary as the spiritual mother of the church. He said clearly to the Apostle John, "Behold your mother," and to his Mother Mary, "Behold your son," giving us our Mother Mary as our spiritual mother for all ages. Those are the two great gifts that he left, and that we honor today, because Mary is the first one to adore and to recognize in many ways what Jesus was doing. So Corpus Christi reminds us of the abiding presence of our loving God as Emmanuel, God with us, which is celebrated every year, that we can give collective thanks to our Lord for his living with us in the Eucharist, his living with us. We have a living Lord. This feast also gives us an occasion to learn more about the importance and value of the real presence of Jesus, and to be able to receive him worthily. What is this real presence that we talk about? If you look through the course of Scripture, it gives a very long, detailed example of what a sacrifice is, starting from Moses all the way up to what Jesus does. We know that a sacrifice in those days involved blood, the real shedding and sprinkling of blood. Without the blood of an animal, there was no true sacrifice. St. Paul describes that later, how Jesus sealed the new covenant with his own blood, thereby putting an end to animal sacrifices. Wherever the church is proclaimed, wherever the gospel is proclaimed through the ages, it puts an end to animal sacrifices, and even to human sacrifices if they were still going on. No culture touches the authentic message of the Eucharist and continues to do those things. As a matter of fact, the one sacrifice of Jesus has saved more blood than any other act in history. So instead of a lamb's blood, Jesus offered his own divine and human body and blood. Instead of sprinkling us with blood, Jesus puts it into our hands as food and drink. "Take, eat, this is my body, which will be given up for you." He did not say, "This represents my body." He said, "This is my body." Again, "Take and drink, this is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many." He did not say, "This represents my blood." He said, "This is my blood." And he said, do this. And doing is an action. So we are doing the work he commanded us by the sacrifice of the Mass. To put it simply, if someone asks, "What do you believe about the Eucharist? What do Catholics believe is happening here?" we can simply point to the tabernacle and say, "He is there." If they were watching at Mass during the consecration, we could point to the altar and say, "He is there." And when we hold the precious body and blood in our hands, we would say, yes, he is there. And we even eat the body and blood of God, and he becomes right here. Now, a little bit different direction. How many of you out there are worriers? Any worriers in the congregation tonight? Yeah, we love to worry. Some anxious people, we worry. We worry about many things. It could be, how am I going to get a new job? How am I going to support myself? Or what will happen tomorrow? Is there going to be a horrible storm like they're predicting on the news? Do I have to shut myself in and go to the storm shelter? Or it could be, does anyone love me? Does anyone care about me? Etc. It may sound familiar. Well, is there a way to go from worrying to worship? And if so, what is that? That's the real question. Well, I want you to do something with me. Okay, take your hand and put it in front of your eyes. Right in front of your eyes. Now, your eyes are staying open. Your eyes are open, but your hand is right in front of your eyes. What do you see? You're saying you either see your hand, which is very close up, or maybe you even see just darkness if your hand is close enough. Okay, now very slowly start to remove your hand. Move your hand away from your eyes slowly and notice what you see. Okay, your hand's getting smaller and smaller. You see other things, and now rest your hand down. And what do you see? You see people, you see light, you may see Jesus on the crucifix. You may see somebody's sleepy hairdo, but that's okay. You're no longer seeing your hand. It's no longer covering your vision. You're seeing all around you. You're seeing someone else. That's how we go from worry to worship. From worrying about ourselves, our own problems, to celebrating the faces of others, right? From worrying about what's going to happen to us, to seeing that there are people around us who love us and who want us to succeed. We could try the same experiment where we cover our eyes once again. Okay, cover your eyes once again. And now this time as you move it away, look at the tabernacle. Move the hand away and look at the tabernacle. He is there. Jesus is there with us. And he will soon be on the altar. So we go from this to this. From worry to worship. Today we offer our lives on the altar along with Jesus' sacrifice, asking pardon for our sins, expressing gratitude for the blessings we have received, and presenting our petitions on the altar. Christ is the head and we are the body, and by sharing in the blessed body and blood, we are strongly united as one, so we must be united in Christ. The Eucharist is actually the greatest miracle Jesus worked on earth, even greater than his resurrection. Does God have the power to do this? Does God have the power to transform bread and wine, which is human food, into his own body and blood, the essence of love, the essence of God? Nothing is impossible for God. Is God here with us? Nothing is impossible for God. Can God raise people from the dead? Nothing is impossible for God. And will Jesus come again? Well, he has said it. And nothing is impossible for our God, the Almighty, the Lord. The Holy Trinity, who made heaven and earth, our Creator, visits us every day right here in Oklahoma and wherever the holy sacrifice of the Mass and communion is brought. We can be with God any place his body and blood is present. That's why Catholic means universal. All God's holy people, every place. Even to outer space, even to the moon, Did Jesus ever visit the moon? Does anybody think that Jesus ever visited the moon? All right, be brave. All right. Because he actually did. He did. Apollo 11 landed on the moon on Sunday, July 20th, 1969. Most remember that astronaut Neil Armstrong's first words as he stepped onto the moon's surface, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." But few know about the first meal eaten on the moon. Buzz Aldrin had served as an altar server at Mass the day before. And that NASA astronaut was given a small pyx from that Mass with what? The body of Jesus that he took on Apollo 11 to the moon. Aldrin sent a radio broadcast to Earth asking listeners to contemplate the events of the day and gave thanks. Then, muting the broadcast for privacy, Aldrin read, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Then silently he gave thanks for their successful journey to the moon and received Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, surrendering even the moon to Jesus. Next, he descended on the moon and walked on it with Neil Armstrong. Today, we will reverently receive our Lord and Savior into our own being as food for the journey on this pilgrimage towards heaven. No matter where we go, God is with us whenever we receive the most holy body and blood of Jesus. We hunger and thirst in our life for real food, real drink, real food for the soul that many people can't even imagine exists, but it does. Jesus realized this hunger and instituted the Holy Eucharist to feed our starving souls. And that is why we celebrate today the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus, Corpus Christi.